We'll chat with Doug Muzio of Baruch College. He's a professor of political science about the race for mayor. Have a great overnight, a great day, and you and I will see each other. We'll join each other again, midnight to 1 a.m., midnight to 1 a.m. here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
107.1 WLIR-FM Hampton Bays and 77 WABC New York. From around the world to around the block, this is a 77-second news update from the RSESolutions.com news desk.
Good morning. I'm Frank Moreno, and here is 77 seconds of news. JBS USA says it forked over big bucks in last week's ransomware attack. The world's largest meat company made the revelation yesterday and said it paid $11 million in Bitcoin to prevent potential risk for customers. JBS noted most of its facilities were operational at the time of the payment. The company had to temporarily pause production at its plants because of the cyber attack. Four Los Angeles area police officers are on leave after video surfaced that showed them punching and kicking a suspect during an arrest. The incident happened at the Galleria Mall in Glendale. Video taken by someone at the scene appears to show two officers punching the suspect on the ground. At one point, another officer seemed to kick the suspect in the face. The wife of drug kingpin El Chapo will plead guilty to helping him run his Mexican drug cartel. NBC News confirming the report yesterday. Emma Isporo was arrested in February and is being charged with helping her husband's drug empire import tons of cocaine. A large number of workers in the Houston hospital system could be shown the door for not getting vaccinated against COVID. Houston Methodist CEO Mark Boom says 178 employees have been suspended and face termination if they don't get the shots. Boom says 27 of them are already vaccinated, and the whole group makes up less than 1% of all employees. That's your 77-second news update from the RSCSolutions.com news desk, where Mark Erzemanian will put you to work.
Tonight at 10 p.m., feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story, talking to the biggest names, covering the biggest stories. She's Rita Cosby.
You have to fight, and you have to believe in what you have and believe in your country.
Tonight, listen to The Rita Cosby Show, weeknights at 10 on 77 WABC.
Do you need a new car but have bad credit? Hudson Hyundai can help. Call Hudson Hyundai, 800-721-8538. Tier 1 customers can drive home a new Hyundai with just $68 down. They have over 850 vehicles in stock. 800-721-8538. Like a Hyundai Tucson, only $68 down. The Hyundai Santa Fe, $68 down. Even a Hyundai Palisade, $68 down. Don't get tricked into paying more. They have plenty of inventory and discounts. 800-721-8538. Over 850 vehicles in stock. Call 800-721-8538. All new Hyundais come with Hyundai Assurance and America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Drive with just $68 down. They have the inventory. Over 850 vehicles in stock. Call now, 800-721-8538. That's 800-721-8538 or HudsonHyundai.com. Payments will vary. Credit severity affects approval terms. See dealer for details.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everybody, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Did you get your tax refund yet? I don't know about you, but the IRS has taken their sweet time getting my money back to me. Every day, my wife asks me, check the bank account. She's had our tax refund spent five times over by now, and every day it's still not here. I'll tell you what, though. The money I owed to the state of New York in terms of money that I owed them. We paid that to them right away. So I have been really frustrated at the burden that middle class taxpayers are forced to shoulder in terms of taxes. Income taxes, national income taxes, state income taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, taxes on top of taxes. And I will tell you, I kind of always accepted, all right, well, I like roads. I like having an army to protect me. I like having police officers. I like having the things that taxes pay for. I like having maybe Social Security one day when I retire. I like the fact that my Aunt Camille is able to have Medicare to pay for some of her medical bills due in part to the taxes that I'm paying. But I'll tell you what really ticked me off. It really irked me more than I can say, and I'm putting it mildly. A big article in ProPublica this week. ProPublica is a nonprofit news organization. Headline, The Secret IRS Files. Trove of never-before-seen records reveal how the wealthiest avoid income tax. And they published a lot of records, and we'll get into whether or not we can trust this data. But essentially, some of the wealthiest men in the world, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, Mike Bloomberg, Elon Musk, and God bless them, a lot of these are self-made people. I'm paying a higher percentage of my income in taxes than these guys are. Now, I'll ask you, you can love Mike Bloomberg or hate him, but why in the world should Mike Bloomberg be paying a far lower tax rate than you and me? So lo and behold, a fellow that has been writing about this for a long time, studying this and working to find solutions to a more saner tax policy is Chuck Collins. He's the author of the book, among others, The Wealth Hoarders, How Billionaires Pay Millions to Hide Trillions. He also happens to be a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. He's been kind enough. We've been able to twist his arm and cajole him to stay up late with us this evening. Chuck, thank you so much for joining me on the radio this morning.
Hey, Frank. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
The pleasure is all mine. Now, let's get the important stuff out of the way. Rumor has it that your great-grandfather was actually Oscar Mayer. Is that true, and how cool is that?
Well, it's very cool. He's a real guy. He's not like a made-up brand.
Right, he's not Willy Wonka or something.
That's right. Yeah, he emigrated from Germany with a recipe for sausage in his pocket, and he did quite well.
Did you get to know him personally?
No, he did pass in the 1950s. I was born in 1959, so... But, you know, it was a family business till I was 21 years old. So lots of my uncles were involved. My dad, when I was born, was working on the killing floor. You know, he wasn't in management. He was working the floor. So, meatpacking is a family business.
No, I was just going to say there's no truth to the fact that you were actually this boy in this commercial.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to eat it every day. And if you ask me why, I'll say, 'cause Oscar Mayer has a way with B-R-O-G-N-A.
Oscar Mayer, the first name in Bologna.
Chuck, I can hear a similarity, I have to say.
You know, that kid is way cuter than I ever was. I don't know what to say. I can tell you, though, I have driven the Wienermobile around a parking lot. I couldn't take it on the open road, but,
Fair enough. Well, that's a claim to fame enough as far as I'm concerned. All right. Let me ask you about this ProPublica article that came out this week. Pretty damning, showing some of the – well, I don't know if damning is the right word. It's alarming to me anyway, showing that some of the wealthiest men in the world are paying a far, far lower tax rate than I am, and that most of our listeners are – Explain to our listeners who might not have seen the story, and I'm going to link to it at my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan. Explain to our listeners why this is a big deal and what you felt the key takeaways of this article were.
Well, it was a big deal because we've known for a while that wealthy people are paying less and less of their income and wealth in taxes. But what happened here is they're naming the names. There was an IRS leak. We're just starting. This is the first of probably many reports that ProPublica is going to do on how the wealthiest people in our country were able to game their taxes down. And what they were able to do is they actually got the tax returns. None of the they confirmed them with all of the individuals involved. No one denied that these were the actual tax returns. So we believe that. And it's really about 15 years of data. So you can look at someone like Jeff Bezos and say, oh, in 2007 and in 2011, the guy paid no taxes. So if you paid $5 in taxes in 2011, you paid more than Jeff Bezos, who at the time was, a centimillionaire or on his way to becoming the wealthiest person in the world. So one of the things that happened over between 2014 and 2018 is this group of 25 billionaires saw their wealth go up about $400 billion over 5 years. That was the gain in their assets. And yet what they paid in taxes was about 3.4%. That was the actual true tax rate, what they paid.
Wow. So
again, most of us pay 15-20% of our income in taxes.
Right. I was looking at my return. That's around where I am. So just to reiterate what you're saying, a lot of these folks that are not just wealthy, they're not just super wealthy, but they are the super wealthiest of the super wealthy, the top 0.1% of the 1%ers. They're paying 3% and in some cases less of their income in taxes.
Yeah, in this case, they're talking about looking at not just their income, but their asset gains. And this begins to point to the problem in our tax code, which is that we have a big focus on the income tax. And for most of us, our income taxes are taken out of our paychecks through withholding throughout the year. But if you're a billionaire and your assets go up $25 billion in a year, that unrealized capital gain is never taxed. And may never be taxed. Even if you pass it on to your children, that value may be reset and they won't pay taxes on it. So it's one of the weak links in the tax system that we undertax wealth and we overtax work.
Well, we're going to get into some of the solutions to this. And if people have questions for Chuck Collins, author of the book, The Wealth Hoarders, you're welcome to give us a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Obviously, you can't independently confirm that these documents are authentic, Chuck, but based on what you've seen in this ProPublica article, does this seem to jive pretty consistently with the research that you've done?
Yeah, it does. And, we've seen really since, the presidency of Dwight Eisenhower, that the top tax rates have steadily gone down for the very rich. We know, looking at the aggregate data, that the billionaire class in the United States pays a effective tax rate. That's the actual percentage, estimated, around 23%. The average for the bottom half of all households is about 24%. So they're paying less than most working people. And then when you get to these super billionaires, they have even more games they can play when it comes to tax avoidance.
And
so it seems very credible.
There's even some people, some of these folks who are doing very well, and again, hats off to them, but some of these folks that are doing very well are actually paying nothing in income taxes. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think over the 15 years, they found, several years where Bloomberg didn't pay taxes, where George Soros didn't pay taxes, where Buffett and Bezos and others, Elon Musk, a couple of years where he didn't pay any taxes. So, yeah, these are some of the, and again, they're probably because they're able to sort of show on paper that they're losing money. And we'll talk more about this, but there's a whole kind of menu of gimmicks and loopholes and kind of bogus transactions that make the rich look like they're losing money when actually they're gaining money. But from a tax point of view, they're writing off their losses and they're not paying tax.
Well, that leads me to my next question is why, right? I mean, we're all familiar with a graduated income tax system. And even if you're getting some of your money through sources other than traditional income tax, why would a billionaire, what's in the tax code that allows Mike Bloomberg, Warren Buffett, and Jeff Bezos to pay next to nothing in taxes, whereas a working class family of four might be paying somewhere between 15% and 25% of their income in taxes?
It's a little wonky, but basically what happens is their accountants and their tax lawyers create transactions. They create subsidiary companies and partnerships and trusts, and they create business dealings between these entities, all owned by one person, let's be clear, that make it appear to be like a legitimate business transaction, when in fact they're just devices aimed at minimization of taxes. And that's one thing just to underscore here. You know, it's not that Jeff Bezos says, you know, I'm going to create a several partnerships and create paper losses. They delegate that. These billionaires delegate this to what we call the wealth defense industry, the tax lawyers, accountants, wealth managers who help them, who are paid millions to help them hide trillions. That's how we look at it. So there's a professional enabler group that they are the accomplices. They're helping drive the getaway car, if you will.
The wealth defense industry. Now, when I do my taxes every year, I ask my accountant, and shout out to him, David Egan, does a great job, to claim every deduction that I'm entitled to. The ones that are not doing anything illegal here, what's wrong with Bezos, Musk, Bloomberg, Buffett taking advantage of every deduction and loophole that allows them to legally pay less in taxes? What's wrong with that?
Well, I think what's important to understand the difference between your situation and theirs is their level of wealth means that they're hiring like a virtual army, an armada of wealth defense professionals. And these folks will tell you, oh, we're just obeying the law. Our clients are obeying every law. They're taking every tax break that they're available to them. But these are the same people who are kind of like creating the transactions, creating loopholes, forming trusts and anonymous shell companies to move money around. They are helping rig the rules and rig the system. So it's a little disingenuous when with one hand you say, I'm just obeying the rules, but on the other hand, you're writing the rules.
I see.
And that's where it's this gray zone. It's a little tap dance along the legal, illegal, you know, the spirit of the law, if you will, where they're and it's very complex. I mean, if you're, you know, I wouldn't want to bore your listeners. I mean, they just beg us, they turn the channel because they're purposely complex and opaque and hard to explain. That's the professional value. That's what you're buying when you hire these highfalutin attorneys, is complexity, layers and layers of complexity.
So on the one hand, they hire lobbyists to write some of these rules into the tax code. And on the other hand, they hire attorneys, accountants, what you term the wealth defense industry, to make sure they can take advantage of a lot of these same rules that their lobbyists have helped write.
Yeah. And really, you know, to do that, you need to have a lot of money. You need to probably have at least $30 million and all the way up to the billionaires, because this is going to cost a lot of money. And it's a form, at that point, it's a form of power. You're exercising your power to put your thumb on the scale, to tip the rules in your favor. And the other thing is, you know, this is what we, you know, the ProPublica piece is about the tax returns that are filed. What I would tell you, Frank, is that there's trillions of dollars that isn't even showing up here that are in trusts. They're in these dynasty trusts that are incorporated in South Dakota, where they don't have to report who the beneficiaries are. They're in offshore tax havens. They're in shell companies and anonymous real estate around the world. There's trillions of dollars that isn't even showing up in this conversation because it's hidden. And that's another piece of the larger tax avoidance challenge.
So talking with Chuck Collins, he's the author of the book, which is exposing this, and he's spent a lot of his life working towards this, The Wealth Hoarders, How Billionaires Pay Millions to Hide Trillions. He's also a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. We're going to take your calls in just a minute. Those of you that are holding, we will get to you. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Well, speaking of income taxes, many of you have that money withheld from your paycheck at work. Well, what if you can't work due to a workplace injury? What if you gotten hurt at work and you need help paying your medical bills, or you just don't understand this cumbersome Byzantine and its complexity workers' compensation process? Well, there's a law firm that can help you. That is the Staten Island law firm of Angiuli and Gentile. It's one of New York's finest small businesses. And if you are uncertain about how the workers' compensation process works, call these guys, because they're not. They've been helping people like you for over 35 years. They'll help take the fear out of the workers' compensation process. These are good folks who I know personally. They'll meet with you, listen to your concerns, and explain how this works to get you the medical treatment and the workers' compensation payments that you're entitled to. The lawyers at Angiuli and Gentile have handled thousands of workers' compensation hearings, and they'll help you walk with confidence. Call Angiuli and Gentile today at 888-234-COMP. That's 888-234-COMP. They offer both in-person consultations or contactless video appointments. 888-234-COMP. That's 888-234-2667.
The legal offerings mentioned in this ad are not a guarantee of services and or performance, as each case or matter is different and is judged on its own merits.
The 77 WABC mobile app. Download it now. Greg Kelly, entertaining and informative.
So many people in the media these days, they just kind of want to be on TV. And now it's everywhere. With our stupid phones in our pocket, we take those pictures and we put them on Instagram. It's a facsimile of fame in your pocket. And that's all anybody seems to want these days, is a little jolt of attention. They don't want to do the work.
Greg Kelly, weekdays from 1 to 3 p.m. before Rudy Giuliani on 77 WABC.
Gold and silver prices are at an all-time high. If you have any gold, silver, or platinum coins, bullion, Franklin Mint items, diamonds, jewelry, art, antiques, paintings, French furniture, any Tiffany items, sterling flatware, Judaica, oriental rugs, older baseball cards, sport and entertainment memorabilia, watches, especially better watches, such as Rolex, Patek Philippe, Vacheron, Tiffany, IWC, Cartier, Breguet, Omega, Breitling, and Bulgari, just to name a few. They will buy them at all the highest cash prices, in any condition, even broken. They also need any designer jewelry, such as Cartier, Tiffany, Buccellati, Van Cleef, Harry Winston, and Bulgari. Now is the time to cash out at the world-famous APR 57 Gallery on 57th Street in New York City, across from Carnegie Hall. They can also come to your home and do certified insurance appraisals. So if you have anything of value, call them for a free appraisal and high cash offer at 212-246-2000. That's 212-246-2000. Or toll free at 800-772-0054.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
AC/DC, money talks. Apparently that's the case when it comes to exploiting loopholes in the tax code. We're talking with Chuck Collins. He is the author of a book called The Wealth Hoarders, and he has spent a lot of time exposing why billionaires are paying a far less tax rate than you are. Although we do have a few billionaire listeners, and so this may not apply to you if you're listening. All right, 800-848-9222 if you want to call in with a question for Chuck Collins. Let me begin with Steve on the Lower East Side. Hello there, Steve. What's your question for Chuck Collins?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Frankie. Yeah, hey, Chuck, yeah, I just want to get your take on, I remember years ago they floated the idea of a flat tax, like, say, 10% across for income tax. Why wouldn't that work?
Thanks, Steve. You know, I think a lot of people, it's attractive because of the simplicity. And if you take all the taxes, state, local, federal, we basically have a flat tax. Most of us pay roughly 25% of our income in all taxes. The federal, and that's because state and local taxes are more regressive, meaning the lower income you are, the higher percentage of your income you pay. The reason I think it makes sense to have a federal, progressive federal, not a flat tax, but where the rich pay a higher percent, is that it helps offset the regressive nature of all the other taxes. And then, you know, for a billionaire to pay 10% of their income is not at all, you know, for someone with $10,000 to pay 10% of their income, that is a heavy lift, where for a billionaire to pay 10% of their income is not the same. So again, our tax code is progressive because some have a greater capacity to pay. We also benefit from a lot from the public investments that we make together.
There is.
So it's a little bit of an alluring, you know, oh, we'll all pay a flat tax, when in fact, you know, but in the context of this ProPublica report, I would say it would be great if the super rich paid 10%.
Right, right. Well, that's what I was going to say. There is, whether you're talking about a flat income tax or a flat national sales tax, there is something appealing about that degree of fairness that we're all paying the same percentage. But now, at least with Mr. Musk, Mr. Bezos, Mr. Bloomberg, we have a very regressive tax system, and that is a big, big problem. Now, there are going to be a lot of people listening to us, Chuck, that say, all right, well, look, the wealthy may not pay a high percentage of their income in taxes, but the money that they're not handing over to Uncle Sam, who many people perceive that the government will just waste that money once they get their hands on it, they're using to hire people or spend money to stimulate the economy. Now, I work for a billionaire. If he had to pay more in taxes, maybe he would hire fewer people at this radio station. Why is that an unwise framework of thinking?
Well, there's no guarantee that the people with wealth are going to use their money productively to invest in things that create jobs. That money could go anywhere on the planet. It could go into speculative investments. So, yeah, I think there are entrepreneurs and people who invest wealth in a way that actually has benefits to the whole society. But there's no guarantee. And the other thing is, a lot of wealth is built on a foundation of public investments and scientific research and infrastructure that's paid for by public investments. So it's not that we want to tax people to the point where they're not making, you know, investing in businesses. We just know that to have a healthy society, you have to have both public investments in infrastructure and the foundations for wealth creation and private investment. And we're so out of balance. We've been like going cheap on the public investment side, or adding it to the debt, or making the middle class pay the bill and letting the super rich off the hook. So I just don't buy that the rich are the job creators argument in every case.
I want you to speak specifically to Republicans and conservatives. We have a lot of right of center listeners, and so much of Republican economic orthodoxy since the 1980s, really up until the present day, has included this adherence to supply side economics and this dogma that tax cuts are always good. They'll generally be stimulative for the economy. and that that stimulation of the economy will actually increase tax revenues to the Treasury. Some of what we're seeing, some of these tax cuts have allowed the super wealthy to pay even less in their income than they would have 20 or 25 years ago. Why is that? Why is this system now where Elon Musk, Mike Bloomberg, and Jeff Bezos are paying next to nothing? Why is that a system of inequity that Republicans and conservatives should be concerned with just as much as progressives?
Well, one reason is when the super rich don't pay their fair share, they shift the obligations onto everyone else. The rest of us have to pick up the slack. And you have this kind of super freeloader class. But the other is that this theory, the trickle-down theory, that if you give the wealthy tax cuts, that will somehow lead to productive investment that will lift the rising tide of all boats. We've had 40 years of experiments with that. We've been cutting taxes steadily since 1980 on the super wealthy. Their tax obligations have gone to the lowest historic levels that we're aware of since we've had an income tax system. And all we've gotten is deeply entrenched inequality, inadequate investment in public investments that really will help create a healthy economy. It's starting to backfire. And actually, this is an interesting thing. You're seeing more and more higher income taxpayers who are saying, you know what, I should be paying more. There's something out of balance, out of whack here. We can't have a healthy society. We've just lived through a pandemic where, because we've been doing public health on the cheap for decades, we were ill-prepared. As the wealthiest country in the world, we were, pitifully ill-prepared for the pandemic. And that's partly because of decades of public disinvestment in the things that matter.
1-800-848-WABC. If you have questions for Chuck Collins, 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Pam in New Jersey. Pam, what's your question for Chuck Collins?
Oh, hi. I've been listening since and kind of thought of something. Yes, a lot of your listeners are conservatives. I'm a capitalist. But, he's got a point. Is this similar to the 90s when everybody was investing in real estate and houses who didn't have the backup for it? It seems like we do have too many millionaires and too many billionaires. And sometimes they reach for power because they don't have to worry so much about money in a bad way, even though I'm a capitalist. But still, I can see it's out of kilter. It is. And there's too many millionaires. Like, all of a sudden you turn around and a Hollywood person sells a cosmetic thing and they're a billionaire. All of a sudden it's like, oh, man, where did this come from? So I'm thinking, he's got a point. He actually changed my views while I'm sitting here on the phone. It's true that something's out of kilter. Okay.
All right, thanks,
Pam. To the 90s, like something like that, like the real estate boom, everybody investing where there was no money. And what I'm saying is now there's so many millionaires. It's like, how could this is out of kilter, and someday the house of cards is going to crash.
Yeah, I think, Pam, you said it better than anybody I've heard in a while. You can't have healthy capitalism with these extreme levels of inequality where, wages have been stagnant for decades for 60% of the population. People have no financial reserves. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And almost all the income and wealth gains have gone not just to the top 1%, but the top 0.1%. And you hear people say things like, do we really need more billionaires? And part of the problem is we don't want an economy that's funneling all the wealth up to the tippy top and not spreading it more broadly and not building a middle class. We now have a shrinking, precarious middle class, declining social mobility. This younger generation under 30 are kind of looking at, what kind of economy am I going to, come of age in? And as Pam says, things are out of kilter. And you also, Pam said, use the word power, and that's part of the problem. The billionaires are getting concentrated wealth, but they're getting concentrated power. The power to shape the culture, the economy, monopoly economic power, the power to warp our politics and democracy. And that's the other really big issue here, is the imbalance of power and the rise of these kind of oligarchic billionaires. So thank you, Pam, for that thoughtful comment.
You write in your book, Chuck, about an anecdote of being at a conference for people with inherited wealth back in the 1980s. And I guess, having been the great-grandson of the original Oscar Mayer, you had a fair amount of inherited wealth. And you were considering giving your money away and giving your inheritance away. And you were asked by someone at that conference, what would you prove by committing class suicide? Let me ask you that same question. What are you proving by giving all your money away? Why not enjoy it and use it to do good things, to invest in things like job creation and buy things that will cause other people to be employed?
Well, I guess what I was objecting to was the idea that there would be these this unlimited multi-generational inherited wealth, you know, that the creation of what you could call dynasties. You know, today we're focused a lot on this flashy new wealth, you know, the Bezos and, you know, Elon Musk. But we have a very persistent, you know, kind of wealth dynasties in this, you know, 50 wealthy families that are seeing their wealth, you know, even like the DuPonts, 7-8 generations later, their wealth is still accelerating. It's not dispersing, it's concentrating. So I personally didn't want to be a beneficiary of a system where some people were born with so much advantage and other people who struggled their whole lives didn't. And I also don't think it's good for children. I think it's important for everybody to sort of develop their own identity and path and not have their way paved with gold. You know, it's one thing to help your kids a little bit, get a start in life, but to give them, you know, so much wealth that they never have to work, I think is debilitating.
800-848-WABC. Let's say hello to Jeff in West Islip. Jeff, what's your question for Chuck Collins?
Chuck Collins, you say there's too many millionaires?
Too many billionaires, for sure.
Billionaires? I mean, but they work for their money, or, you know, didn't their parents and everybody work for that money? I mean, nobody just gives billionaires money. Right or wrong?
About a third of the people who are on our U.S. billionaire lists are multi-generational inheritors. So, yeah, part of what I was saying is that some people are getting disproportionate rewards. Let's just, Jeff, talk about the pandemic. 700 billionaires in the United States during the pandemic, while other people were losing their lives, losing their jobs, their savings, the billionaire class in the United States saw their wealth go up $1.6 trillion. That isn't because they were working harder. That wasn't because they were working smarter. It's because their competition was shut down, and they were lucky to be positioned in a way where they could extract enormous wealth from other people's unfortunate circumstances. You know, whether it's the cloud-based technology people or Zoom or telemedicine or online retail, those folks benefited from having their competition shut down, and they reaped enormous benefits. You may think that's, you know, some kind of entrepreneurial virtue, but I think it's a form of immoral profiteering.
Freddie,
not every billionaire I would put in that class.
Yeah, and I want to point out especially our owner, John Catsimatidis, totally self-made, came to this country as an immigrant and a real American success story. But I don't think he was the kind of billionaire that they were talking about in this ProPublica article. He's just barely a billionaire, whereas Elon Musk is one of the wealthiest men in the world. Freddie in New Jersey, you're on with Chuck Collins. What's your question?
Not a question. I just want to make a statement. This guy is so mean. I can't believe what he's saying. He's so ungrateful to the way this country's run. When is the last time you missed a meal, Mr. Collins? When was the last time you went to a restaurant?
All right, Freddie, we want to have a productive conversation here rather than just be mean and yell at people. I don't see what a lot of that serves. If you have a substantive policy disagreement, or if you think it's merited that Elon Musk pays 1% of his income in taxes while you're paying 20%, then explain why. There's no need to attack anybody, and there's no need to make these ad hominem attacks. Let me say hello to Charlie in Hell's Kitchen. Charlie, what's your question for Chuck Collins?
Yeah, my question is, why does he have so much faith in government? If we were to kill all the 100 wealthiest families, just kill them all, seize all the wealth, have the government redistribute it to whoever it thought needs to be redistributed to, what makes anyone think that the government wouldn't waste all of the money and just squander it on special interest groups and just waste it? Why Mr. Collins have so much faith in government?
That's a fair question, Chuck. I did allude to the fact that a lot of people believe there's a lot of government waste out there. And what function is served if we get more of these super billionaires' money and give it and allow it to be what some people might perceive to be flushed down this toilet of bureaucracy?
You know, part of what how I respond to Charlie's question is to say, well, we did an experiment after World War II. We taxed income and inheritances at high levels. We invested in public infrastructure, education, creating first-time home buyer programs. We invested in broadening the middle class, lifting up people out of poverty, the 1950s, 1960s, 1970s. Nobody would say that. In fact, that was a period of vibrant capitalism, rapid economic growth, but it was also a period of shared prosperity. The incomes of the bottom fifth rose at the same rate as the incomes at the top. And one of the ingredients was we taxed wealthy people. You know, under the socialist presidency of Dwight Eisenhower, we taxed the super rich at much higher levels, and we invested in public goods. So, you know, yeah, government does boneheaded things. Sometimes there are things that I clearly would disagree with. But I think we did an experiment in shared prosperity, and now we're doing the opposite. We're cutting taxes on the wealthy. We're not making public investments. We're telling young people, hey, if you want to get a college education, you got to become an indentured servant to the student debt sector. We're telling people who aspire to own their own home, tough luck. You're going to have to stay in rental housing all your life and pay rent to Blackstone because the big companies are buying up the rental market.
All right.
You know, we used to help people get access to opportunities that don't exist today. And I thought that was a good use of resources and a good way to live as a society.
Chuck Collins is my guest for the hour. He's author of the book, The Wealth Hoarders. He's a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. If you have a question, you can give us a call, 1-800-848-9222. Among Chuck's claims to fame, though, look, he's born into inherited wealth, but is there a better fortune to inherit than the Oscar Mayer fortune?
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. If I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Oh, I'm glad I'm not an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I never want to be. Because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, there would soon be nothing left of me.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener.
On your radio.
Station all day long.
On the 77 WABC app and on all your devices. Play 77 WABC.
If you were in Lower Manhattan on September 11th or any time during the 8 months following 9/11 and have been diagnosed with cancer or respiratory illness, attorney Noah Kishlevsky has been representing victims of 9/11 toxic exposure since 2001.
My name is Noah Kishlevsky. I'm the managing partner of Kreindler & Kreindler. September 11th was one of the darkest days in our country's history. history. The ramifications of that have been just horrendous. Over the years, people that came out of that perfectly fine are experiencing just terrible, terrible illnesses and injuries. We have a team of over 20 people that do nothing but VCF claims. In fact, it was designed for not only first responders, but area residents, area workers, students, and anybody who had spent enough time in the exposure zone. We have a lot of clients because we're the best at what we do.
Call 888-246-4799. That's 888-246-4799. And visit 911cancerinfo.com. That's 911cancerinfo.com.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
She's the outspoken host.
That's what everybody's talking about.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
Judge Jeanine Pirro is dominating the headlines right now.
New York discretion with no objections. She demands order in her court. Sunday morning at 11. It's the Judge Jeanine Tunnel to Towers Foundation Sunday morning show.
Judge Jeanine Pirro.
On 77 WABC.
You know the landlord rang my front door bell. I let it ring for a long, long spell. I went to the window, I peeped through the blind, and asked him to tell me what was on his mind. He said,
Elvis Presley singing about money. We're talking about money, namely the fact that some of the wealthiest men in the world are paying far less of a percentage of their income in taxes than you are. How do you feel about that? We're talking with Chuck Collins, author of the book, The Wealth Hoarders. You know, Chuck, so far we've focused mainly on tax avoidance, which is perfectly legal. But is there any evidence that some of these super billionaires engage in plain old-fashioned tax evasion, not paying taxes in violation of what the law says?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is some of this wealth is vanishing offshore. It's going into, you know, it's going to the Cayman Islands or the British Virgin Islands. It's hiding. It's being, and people do this not only to avoid taxes, they do it to avoid, you know, paying their responsible alimony or whatever, you know. So some of the same tools are used by the kleptocrats. And by the way, if you look around New York and you see all these luxury towers rising around, you know, what we know is that half those units are being bought by anonymous shell companies, not for people to live in, but as a form of wealth storage. You know, when you have a, you know, if you're a Russian oligarch or you've stole money from your people in your country and you need to spirit it away, the United States is a great place to bring that wealth. You're a stable, healthy marketplace with regulation and the like. But people are buying up our real estate as a form of, you know, holding wealth, holding its value. So our whole New York City housing market has been kind of disrupted by all this hidden global wealth coming in and driving up the cost of land and housing.
How do your children feel about you giving away the bulk of your money?
Well, they grew up going to public schools. They grew up learning to speak Spanish and living in a very different kind of world than the one I grew up in. So they never had a say in the matter.
Sure.
So that's all they know. You know, we as parents, we always tried to do what's best for our children. My parents did what they thought was best for me. My daughter's very, very smart though. She's sort of like, no, I'm glad I didn't have to figure that stuff out. I'm just going to, you know, learn, get skills and, you know, get a job. But I worry, you know, they, like a lot of young people, are saddled with student debt. You know, if I could do it over again, I might try to help them. But now I have a stake in working for a society where there isn't so much student debt. I personally have a stake in that.
So what's the solution? How do we correct the inequities in this system which allow somebody that's worth $20 billion to pay 0% of their income in taxes and somebody that's making $100,000 to have to pay 15 to 20% of their income in taxes? How do we fix that?
I guess one big fix is we need to tax wealth and not just income. Wealth at a very high level when it reaches sort of democracy distorting levels, where I would put the line at somewhere over $30 million. So, you know, Senator Elizabeth Warren has proposed an annual wealth tax, a 2% tax on wealth over $50 million, and adding a percentage, 3% over wealth over a trillion. That would not change any wealthy person's lifestyle. It would not cut into their standard of living in any way, but it would begin to chip away at this concentration of wealth and power. And we could also have a better inheritance tax. And again, we're only talking about people in the super wealthy category. And why are we focusing there? Well, one, because that's where the money is, but that's where this power is too. So yeah, I think, you know, in addition to fixing the income tax and maybe having a couple higher tax rates for the super rich, I would say let's figure out how to tax wealth in an equitable and fair way.
You mentioned Elizabeth Warren. She is somebody considered generally on the leftward end of the political spectrum. But Donald Trump, if I remember correctly, when he ran for president in 2000 or was exploring a run for the presidency, he proposed a very similar wealth tax, didn't he?
He did, actually. Candidate Trump proposed a wealth tax on wealth over, I believe it was $10
million. Right.
One thing.
So Trump was actually a lot more progressive than you were, at least 20 years ago.
Probably, yeah. I mean, actually, these are very popular ideas. I mean, the majority of Republicans support a wealth tax. You know, 70-80% of voters think it's a reasonable idea. Again, because it's super targeted, it raises substantial money, and it, you know, these are folks who have, they're throwing their weight around in our society in terms of the politics. So, it's a popular idea. President Biden has also said, you know, we should put resources into enforcement. Now, none of us like the Internal Revenue Service, partly because they are harassing low and middle income taxpayers more, and they don't have the capacity to sort of follow the shell games. Their oversight capacity has been decimated. But part of the way to a fair tax system is you got to enforce the rules, and you got to enforce them on the super wealthy who have the most lawyers and helpers to help them dance along the edge of the rules.
Right. I mean, if the IRS were to go after someone like me, I don't really have the resources to mount a vigorous defense. But if they go after Elon Musk, he can have an army of lawyers and accountants, the wealth defense industry that you write about in your book, fight back against the IRS and maybe even outmatch the IRS.
And right now that is the case. The rich are completely outgunning the IRS. The IRS has lost like 18,000 staff. They lost the people who knew how all these complicated tax dodges were constructed and how to kind of break them down and sort out what's legitimate business transaction versus something that's just about avoiding taxes.
All right. We'll squeeze in a few more calls for Chuck Collins, 800-848-9222. Pete calling from New Hampshire. Pete, what's your question?
Well, my question is more of a statement. And good morning, Frank. Good morning, Chuck. One of the biggest problems that I see in the country right now is with big tech. These people have created the monopolies, and they've also used it as a weapon against society. Basically, they're using it as a weapon because what they're doing is they're taking that money. They're forwarding with a narrative, and the narrative is actually a false narrative. But beyond that, we need to break up. These are actually monopolies. They need to be broken. They were broken up in 1911. We all know that with the Sherman Antitrust Act. under Teddy Roosevelt. And we need to go back to that theory and follow that theory.
Chuck, any thoughts to, I mean, you focused a lot on wealthy individuals, but any thought at all on how companies like big tech companies or corporations like Amazon and Netflix, for instance, who pay nothing in income taxes, how they might enter into the kind of solutions you're talking about?
Well, I think what Pete is talking about is so important, which is a lot of these billionaire fortunes are coming from companies that have monopoly power. That means that they're, you know, in economic terms, they're able to extract rents from the healthy real economy. They're squeezing and nickel and diming the customers, and they don't have competition to help put competitive pricing. So, you know, Pete is right. We need to have rigorous antitrust, anti-monopoly practices to protect competition, to protect real healthy capitalism from predatory capitalism. And coming out of the pandemic, we're unfortunately going to see more and more consolidation. So we have to be vigilant, like Pete.
Marty in Maplewood, what's your question for Chuck Collins?
Yeah, Mr. Collins, good morning. Good morning, Frank. You
morning.
Too.
Thank you.
I think we hear more today than ever before that the mega billionaires have gotten together and they're giving all their money away. I think that they're in a much better position to do the right thing in terms of giving it to the right, doing the right thing with their money, as opposed to giving it to the government that has proven that they can't do a darn thing correctly. In fact, not only that, though, but if you compare the government during Eisenhower's time, which you called the socialist, to the president that we have today, which I'm curious to see what you would call him. If you call Eisenhower?
Well, Marty, I think he was saying that he wasn't really a socialist, but because of the high tax rate, there are people that might call him that. But Chuck, I feel like I sort of asked you about Marty's question. I'll reiterate the question in case I didn't ask it properly before. Is this money better given away by the super wealthy who can choose what charities and which causes they want to support rather than this bottomless pit of bureaucracy run by Congress?
Well, yeah, I think, Marty, what I would say is, you know, there's some things that philanthropy does well, giving to charity, giving to the independent sector. And it's great that we have a non-governmental, non-private sector, third sector. But philanthropy is not a substitute for an adequately, you know, a fair tax system and adequate public investments. Philanthropy isn't building a sewer water treatment plant. Philanthropy isn't going to make the subways upgraded. Philanthropy does some things well, like helps build museums and institutions and sometimes healthcare facilities. But it's just, and then the fact is now more and more you see billionaires who opt out of paying taxes by creating a private foundation, and that becomes an extension of their private power and influence. And it's not a democratic system where we, the people, are deciding where investments should go. It's usually one or two people. It's Bill Gates and Melinda are deciding where the public and where their grants will go. And it's a very different sort of situation. So philanthropy is great, but it's not the answer.
Tom in Boston, very quickly, because I want to try and get in at least one other call after you. Tom, what's your question for Chuck Collins?
Hey, Frank, I just have to say, now, if there's a wealth tax, who's going to collect the wealth tax? The corrupt government? Because they waste so much money that it's crazy to give them more money.
All right, Chuck,
I don't like to give them
How would the implementation of a wealth tax work? Would that be administered by the IRS as well, or how would that work in practice?
It would be, you know, we have a property tax system, which is measures wealth and taxes on property. It would be like the estate tax where you take a snapshot of what people have and you tax a portion of that. One thing just to say is we could, you know, when people complain about government expenditures, I think when we talk about taxing the wealthy, we're talking about the mix of where the revenue comes from. Maybe we can reduce taxes on working people. I think working people are overtaxed at the federal level. We're certainly overtaxed at state and local and property taxes and sales taxes. why can't we shift? We used to tax the wealthy and reduce taxes on low and middle income people. So part of having a wealth tax is you can actually reduce the tax obligations of lower income people, the way we did for the 30, 40 years after World War II.
Chuck, we're going to have to end it there. If people want to learn more about your ideas, and first of all, I want to encourage people to read this ProPublica article that was published this week. I've linked to it on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan. And again, that was not written by Chuck, but it seems an appropriate article that jives with a lot of things that he's saying. But Chuck, if people want to learn more about what you're up to or the work you're doing, what's the best place for them to go?
To learn more about the book, you can check out wealthhoarders.com. And to learn more about our work, inequality.org is the best portal for information on these issues of inequality and tax fairness.
Chuck, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it a great deal.
Thanks, Frank, for inviting me.
All right. Next hour, we'll get into the exciting world of aliens. Until then, help control the pet population. Get your dog or cat spayed or neutered.
1071 WLIR-FM Hampton Bays and 77 WABC New York.